Wow. Wow, wow, wow. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? I want you to stand with me a minute. I think if Jesus can get out of the grave, you stand up for 5 minutes. Come on, church. Wow. I want us to pray for today. I want you to understand. If you're here and you've snuck in church today, I wonder what this is all about. Why are these people singing these crazy fast songs? At Hillview, why are they dressed up today? Because it's a special day. How many of y'all dress up at special times? Of course you do. You know, I dress up on my anniversary. I'm amazed at another year she stayed with me. I dress up at Christmas time. I want us to realize that today, it is Easter Sunday morning, but every Sunday is Easter Sunday morning. And I want us to realize that our lives have been dynamically made different because Jesus Christ has come into them. And that's worthy of praise. Now I'm just going to ask for a moment, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that maybe your mind needs to be cleared more than anybody else's. Right now, if you got any other thought than Jesus Christ is your Lord on your mind, if you got any other thought, you need to bow your head and say, "Dear God, forgive me. I am such a consumed, self-centered human being, I can't even celebrate your glory. I can't even celebrate your most fantastic moment because I'm so caught up in this world, I can't connect to the next." Let me tell you, Easter's out of this world. You know why I love Easter? Because it's not of this world. You know why I love Easter? Because there's nothing like it in this world. And so we're going to talk today. Let's pray for a minute. Lord Jesus, I thank you for a great church. But Lord Jesus, I understand that the great church couldn't happen unless there was a great God. And Lord, I want to thank you for the Father that created us, the Son that redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit that is empowering us, and the three are one. It's an amazing miracle and a mystery. And Lord, I ask right now that you clear our hearts and minds. Lord, for us that have been through many an Easter service, let us catch the fury and the fervor of the resurrection afresh again. And for those of us today that this message is a brand new aha, may we catch that Jesus Christ has loved us, redeemed us. He wants to be in our lives, never wants to leave us. And so God, make it possible. Make it possible in everyone's life in this place today to hear clearly who Jesus is. Amen? And what Jesus is about. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated. I want to thank you that you would deem it worthy enough to come in the 21st century and to come here to church and say, you know what? This Jesus still has validity. How many of y'all believe that Jesus Christ still has validity? That in this world today of high technology and all kinds of things going on, this Jesus is still true. He's risen. Here's the miracle. Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus didn't stay dead. Now I want you to know something. There's a way that seems right. The Proverbs tell us there's a way that seems right unto mankind, unto humankind. But that way leads to destruction. You know what that tells us? There's a lot of us that are going to try to save ourselves. A lot of us going to try to save ourselves. There's a lot of us in this room that believe if we're a good person, if we do a few good things, if everything kind of shapes out all right in our lives, before we die, we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. We are sadly mistaken. There's a way that seems right. You see, it seems right. It doesn't seem wrong. It seems what? Right. But it leads unto destruction. And guess what? We've polluted with that way in our country. We say ignore Jesus Christ. Watch this. Even as we've celebrated Holy Week, I bet there's been a battle in most of our minds. We've been a lot more excited about spring break than we have the resurrection. You see, we'd rather have what seems right at the moment than what is for eternity. And now you understand the resurrection. It was not a this moment, it was a forever moment. When Jesus came out of that grave, He unlocked the chains of death, He broke the power of sin, and He's freed human beings to live like they could not live until He is risen. We're a people of a greater way. Now, did I tell you there's a way that seems right to us, though? How many of y'all are betting on your way? Come on, really get with me this morning. You betting on your way. You gonna tell God you bought some Girl Scout cookies, you joined the Kiwanis Club, you helped a Rotarian out, you know, you visited the Masonic Lodge and gave a little money to help some crippled children, and you a good person, and everything's gonna be alright because you were a good person. Did I tell you there's a way that seems right unto human beings, but it leads to destruction? And then there is a way. There's a way. He made a way. Jesus made a way. And so, church, you know what? I ask God, I've been asking God for several months, that this Easter moment not be a moment where we just celebrate that Jesus one time got out of the grave. But Freddie Hampton, I've been asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, God Almighty, risen Savior, I pray you get in every participant of the Hillview Heights Church in such a fervent way that we would live out His way. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to talk this morning for just a few moments. What has risen from the grave? And what is now possible because Jesus lives? If you'll look at your neighbor, I want you to make this confession to them, even if they are a guest. You are possible. David Jones, you are possible, brother. What do you think? You are possible, my friends. Andy Bolton, you are possible. What do you think about that? It is better that you are possible than you are a deacon. It doesn't mean much to be a deacon. I know a lot of people that have been a deacon that didn't follow Jesus. I know a lot of people that have been a pastor that didn't follow Jesus. I know a lot of people that have claimed His name but didn't follow His way. That's because they weren't following Him. Just clue y'all in on that. You either follow Him or you don't follow Him. God made this faith so simple that even I could preach it. You either follow the way of God, you either get with the way of God, you either get in the way with God, or you get out of the way because God's way's coming through. Let me tell you what Sunday morning clarifies to us. Jesus Christ wins. Jesus Christ will. And here's the greatest statement of all. God does what God says He will do. Now, how many times you meet that in life? Right there's a miracle. Jesus did exactly what He said He was going to do. Now, that just blows our mind, doesn't it? How many of y'all have had a politician do what they say they were going to do? Well, if you did, you've hit a miracle. How many of y'all remember? No new taxes. Read my lips. Jesus said, I will be risen on the third day. And guess what happened on the third day? He was risen. Now you better hold on to that, because when He says you are forgiven, guess what that means? Forgiven. God does what He says, and He puts us in an excellent way. What has been risen to us? Since we have been risen, we need to live out and in the resurrection. So go with me to 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul, as he's talking to this Corinthian church, that was just a church, it was a church that was just wild as a bat. Reminds me of another church I know. And the folk in Corinthian, in Corinth, they just came from everywhere and started coming to Jesus. And some of them had not left behind some of their previous behaviors. In fact, it was at the church at Corinth that Paul had to write and say, listen, y'all got to quit getting drunk before everybody else gets there. I mean, at the church of Corinth, they were the rich folk would get off earlier. Ain't much change, has it? And they would get there and they would drink all the communion wine before the rest of the working folk could get there. How many of y'all would like to come to church and see the first group smashed? This was going on in the Bible. Now some of y'all will read the Bible. It'll be as entertaining as Desperate Housewives. In fact, it's even crazier than that. God said, I've come to speak a message of truth to bring a new way. And Paul says over here in 1 Corinthians 13, guess what he says? He says, I'm going to bring a new way. And now I will show you the most excellent way. Now note what he said. I'm not going to speak about it. I'm going to show it to you. Amen. Church, let me tell you what we lack in the world today is a church that will show folk the resurrection. Oh, Lord have mercy. We got enough books, enough tapes, enough CDs, enough seminars, enough television programs, enough TV preachers to choke a horse. But let me tell you what we got very little of. Are people that will live in the power of the resurrection and show folks the way to heaven. We got a lot of people that will tell folks the way to heaven, but we got very few folk that will show people the way to heaven. He said, I'm going to show you the excellent way. Well, what has been risen today? Why give your life to Jesus? I tell you why, there's no other way like it. What's in the way? Now, here's what Jesus speaks through the Apostle Paul. He said, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Guess what he says? You can have all kinds of holy language, but if you don't understand his love, you're not in the way. How many of you know people that have holy words, but no holy action? Yeah, that's what he's talking about. They like a cymbal, a gong. They ought to be a part of the gong show. How many of y'all remember the gong show? That's what God says. You're just a part of the gong show. You're an unknown comic. That's what you are. He said, I want you to be a part of the resurrected life. Look at here what else he says. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. Jesus didn't rise from the grave so that we could be superiorly intellectual or have more faith than everybody else. He's risen from the grave so that we might understand the way of love. See, there's the power. There's the power that changes everything. The way of what? Love. He said, I can have it all. I can understand the spiritual realms, but if I don't have the connection of the resurrection of love, I've gained nothing. I haven't become what he died and has risen for me to become. He goes on. He says, if I give all my possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. You know what he said? He said, I can feed all the poor, hungry people that they're there. Even Jesus said this, the poor will always be among you. You know why the poor will always be among you? Because people will always make bad decisions. He said, that's always going to be there. But we got a lot of people think, well, as long as I help a few poor people, I'm going to heaven. Now, I'm sure those poor people, they appreciate that meal. Guess how long that's going to last? 4 hours. That's a good meal. McDonald's, 30 minutes. You'll want some more fries. He said, if that's all I do, I gain nothing. Now look, he didn't say don't do any of that. He just said what? If that's all you don't have the resurrection. If that's all you don't have the resurrection. If that's all you have, I hadn't gotten in the center of who you are. If that's all you what? But let me show you what we have. He made a way. Did I tell you there's a way that seems right? And then there's a way that is right. An excellent way. I love Paul's wording here. An excellent way. Not a halfway, not three quarters of the way, not almost there, not really good, but excellent. This is what's been risen in the life of those who follow Jesus. Love. I mean, y'all glad to know that Jesus, he came from the grave and pronounced the greatest message of love. Your sins are forgiven, your life can be remade, and you are a new creature in Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected. How many of y'all are glad you're not what you used to be? How many of y'all are glad you're not what you're going to be? How many of y'all are glad to be living in a spot where you're not what you used to be and you're not what you're going to be? And that means that every day you get up, you can say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day of hope, a day of possibility, a day of purpose, a day of excitement, because God is going to get me better in this day. You see, that's the way those who follow Christ live. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. This is the life we get. Why did Jesus come to life? He came to life to give us one. Without Jesus, you ain't got a life. For my English teachers that are visiting today, you do not have a life. But you still ain't right without Jesus. But with Jesus, these possibilities, what? Emerge in you. You ready? Love. Love is patient. I'll tell you what rose today. The patience of God. I'm patient enough to wait for you to join me. I'm patient enough to pursue you with Holy Ghost love. I'm patient enough that I will wait for you to realize I am God. Love is patient. Love is kind. How many of y'all glad to know that kindness was resurrected on the third day? God said, love one another, be kind to each other. In fact, He said, they'll know God by being kind. I'm sold out on kindness. You know what I'm tired of? Mean church people. I'm tired of mean church people. We've got enough mean church people to fill hell up 4 or 5 times. You know what we need? We need some kind followers of Jesus Christ. You know what kindness is? You messed up right now, but I know how you can get better. That's kind. If you're thirsty, I'm going to give you a drink of water. If you're naked, I'm going to put clothes on your back. If you're in jail, I'm going to come visit you and not remind you how you got there. I'm going to talk about how you're going to be when you get out. Amen? Amen? How many of y'all probably needed to go to jail once and just didn't get caught? Then don't be too judgmental. Huh? Yeah. Love is kind, and that was risen to, and it does not envy. You know, this is a great thing. This will get you off all those antidepressants. You can be who you are because you don't have to envy who anybody else is, because God has told you today, on the third day, early in the morning, that you were worthy of redemption. You are worthy to be saved. He made you. He loves you, and you are important. That's what God said on the third day. You are. How many of y'all need to just hear, you are. You're all right. Guess what? He loves you. You don't have to worry about anybody else's life journey because He's given you one. Amen? How many of y'all realize when you got Jesus, you got everything, so you don't have to worry about what everybody else has got? Amen. So you don't have to envy anymore. And guess what love does? Love, it doesn't boast. It's what I love about it. Once you get Jesus, you don't have to tell anybody you got Jesus, because Jesus is going to come out when you really get Him. Jesus has a way of always coming out. You know what I said? I mean, He's always coming out. He comes out in Bethlehem. He comes out on the other side of Jerusalem. He comes out of the tomb. Jesus is always coming out. He's coming out and saying, here is God, and I am He, and He is worthy, and you're set free. You don't have to boast anymore. You don't have to tell anybody how good you are, because you're going to point to God and tell everybody how great He is. That's the excellent way. Amen. How many of y'all glad to know this is real stuff? It's risen today in you. Wow! I mean, y'all realize you are a walking motion of God's love. Mm-hmm. Take that one home today. You just look over there at your spouse. I am God's love coming at you. You look at your children. I'm going to love you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to love you with the power of His patience. I'm going to love you with the power of His kindness. I'm not going to envy what you think is right. I'm not going to boast. But guess what? Love's not proud. I mean, y'all glad to know God's not proud. Ooh, I think if you really knew, you'd be really thankful to know God's not proud. Because if God was proud, guess what He'd say? Y'all sinned, I'm going to nuke you. How many of y'all glad God decided to stay with us? How many of y'all glad that God stayed with us even after we ate from the tree we weren't supposed to eat from? Parents, y'all need to hear a little bit of that. Don't leave those children. He said, Pastor Evers, you don't understand. My child's messed up. No, you don't understand. All of them are messed up. You stay in there. Watch this. What would happen to our world if everybody stayed in there till somebody got better? Amen. Man, I thank a lot of y'all, because a lot of y'all are staying in there where a lot of folks say people can't get better. You say, well, Pastor Steve, we ain't seeing many of them get better. I don't care how many get better. You know what? I'm telling you a fact today that one was risen from the grave. Amen. One was risen from the grave. Did you hear me today? I'm telling you, one was risen from the grave, and that one changed everything. See, here's the problem with Americans. We think the majority means something. I figured out a long time ago that the majority doesn't mean anything. The majority may mean this. 98% of the people agreed to be wrong. Somehow we find comfort in that. If you're wrong and I'm wrong and they're wrong and we're all wrong together, that somehow or another that makes it better. Guess what that means? That just means there'll be a whole lot of people in hell. I guess they'll comfort each other when they get there. Maybe they can have a hell support group. Hello, my name is Steve. I'm in hell because I rejected the grace of Jesus Christ. I denied the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I denied the cross of Jesus Christ. I did it my way. I did it my way. I lived my way. I was a good person doing life my way, and I ended up in destruction. Here's my awards and trophies from my life. All of them led me to this hellish place because I denied that He is risen. I denied that He was patient. I denied that He was kind. I denied that He didn't boast. I denied that He didn't envy. When you read 1 Corinthians 13, you're reading a description of God's character. Guess what? He isn't rude. How many of y'all glad to know Jesus isn't rude? He's not going to reach in there and jerk your sin out. If you want to keep them, you can keep them. Now, He tells you the truth. He said, that's going to kill you, but I'm not going to pull it. You got to give it to me. You know, when Jesus is really relaxed, guess what? When you live forever, you don't have to get too anxious. He's not self-seeking. You know how I know He's not self-seeking? You know why He went to the cross? He didn't say, Lord, if this glorifies me, I'll go to the cross. If they're going to sing hymn number 475, Victory in Me, then I'll go to the cross. He said, if it glorifies you, Daddy, I'll go. No matter how bad it hurts, no matter how crushing it is, no matter how piercing it is to my human flesh, if it'll glorify the Father who art in heaven, I trust that to be the excellent way. Let me tell you how you glorify God. It's when you fall in love with Jesus. He who loves the Son loves the Father, 1 John 5. He who loves the Son loves the Father. How many of y'all love the Son? He's not self-seeking. And look at this. I want you to understand, we don't need to be self-seeking. It's not easily angered. How many of y'all glad to know when you get with God, He doesn't get real angry real quick? Huh? How many of y'all think y'all's little sins tick God off? How many of y'all run around guilty and hidden in shame because you feel like God never seen that one before? He's seen it. And He's not scared of it. That's the good news. And I don't know, I think maybe we need to get a new image of Jesus. I didn't see Jesus coming out of the tomb doing this. That was my third grade teacher. I think Jesus came out of the tomb doing this. Come. Come. The Lamb of God was saying, come. Come on. Come on. I got a way. I'm patient, I'm kind, I'm loving, I don't boast, I'm not envy, I'm not anxious. I want to take you to life. Here's the good news. You ready? This is what was resurrected today. Jesus is not easy and angered, and he keeps no records of wrongs. I mean, you glad that Jesus doesn't remember your sin like you do? How many of y'all remember your sin all the time? Now watch this. How many of y'all remember everybody else's? Woo! When it comes to remembering sin, we got a mind, don't we? How many of y'all can go, I remember back in 1954, you said this to me. If you can do that to another person, you're having one miserable life. And I pray today that you would be released by the power of the resurrection and live in the Jesus like He's made it possible to live. What if Jesus remembered sin? He's calling. You hear, as soon as I said that, He's calling in. And guess what He's going to let you know? I keep no record of what? Wrongs. So neither should we. We should hope for a greater day every day because every day gets better in Jesus. Even when bad things are going on, every day gets better in Jesus. And let me give you four things as we end this moment of celebration. Four things that were resurrected. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. Evil was defeated on this day. Defeated. I see some of you still enjoy it. Evil is nasty. Evil is not made for you if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. How many of y'all glad about that? It's not made for you. Doesn't fit anymore. It's not what you've been made to be. Look what He says here. It's wonderful. Four things. Now, you ready? Since Jesus has been risen, we're protected. What does love do? It always what? always protects. Look, it doesn't say it sometimes protects. It says it always protects. How many of y'all are glad that no matter where you are or where your life is, God is protecting it? Now, I didn't say you wasn't going to get stung. I just said you wasn't going to die. Yeah. There will still be gnats in life. How many of y'all have ever been around gnats? When you live in Jesus Christ, everything becomes a gnat. Now, I've walked through a swarm of gnats before. How many of y'all have ever, you know, in the summertime, July, when it gets real hot and humid, like it should be at Easter, not snowing on Saturday before Easter. I didn't see any snow in the Easter story, did y'all? And look at here, You know what I'm talking about? It's just like a wall of gnats. How many of y'all have ever walked through a wall of gnats? You usually got a hot dog in your hand when this is going on. You know, you're at the picnic and you're eating your hot dog. You're not paying attention, talking to somebody, eating your hot dog. And all of a sudden you walk through. Now, I don't know about y'all, but those gnats irritate me. And I start swatting and kung fu fighting these gnats. Their irritations. I've walked through a swarm of gnats and I'm still here talking to you. I hadn't died. Well, let me tell you what. When you live in the resurrection, everything else becomes a gnat. It may irritate you, it may irritate you and even be very painful. But you know what I know in the end? I'm going to live. And you know what? When I'm in the middle of the swarm, here's what I know. God's protection is still available. Jesus doesn't leave when things get tough. He's shown us that through the Easter story. He was willing to be crucified and resurrected. Wow. He doesn't give up. Love protects. Here's what else love does. It always trusts. You can trust Jesus to come through. Well, you know how I know? He told his disciples, they're going to crucify me, but I'm coming back. He said it before Arnold Schwarzenegger said it. He really did. You know, when Arnold said, I'll be back. You know what Jesus said? This is going to look really bad. And it's going to look like I'm gone. And it's going to look like I've lost. And it's going to feel like you've lost. And you're going to become very terrified. And you're going to deny me. And you're going to run. And you're going to separate. But I'll be back. I'll be back. And on the third day, this day, he came back. And everything's changed. Jesus is trustworthy. Resurrect that in your life. You can trust Jesus. Amen? How many of y'all are scared to trust people? I'll give you a guarantee. Every person you know, no matter how close they are to you, will let you down. It's guaranteed. Why? They're people. They're just people. Don't wig out about that. Don't get so mad at that. I don't know why we get so mad that a human being disappointed us. They are supposed to. And if you worship them, you're going to be in deep, deep trouble. Because they're going to mess up. Y'all may not believe this or not, but I've messed up and disappointed Elizabeth before. I know that's hard for y'all to comprehend. Yeah. She's going, how could you be my husband and act like that? Don't trust in me. The Psalm says some will trust in chariots. Some will trust in gold. Some will trust in silver. Some will trust in nations. Some will trust in political parties. Some will trust in technology. Some will put their total trust in education. Others will put their total trust in advancement of humanity. But you know what? This is going to be very primitive. I'm going to trust in the risen Lord. Because that's the only thing I've said that does absolutely what He said He's going to do. He arose. Trust Him. And you know what He does? He always hopes. How many of y'all glad to know that the power of hope has been resurrected? You don't have to stay shut down anymore. No matter how bad it gets, in Jesus, there's the hope of heaven. So let that hope be resurrected in you today. And then here's what I love about God's love. Nobody can stop it. Nobody can stop it. Amen? It will what? Persevere. Will you stand with me this morning? If you believe it, stand with me. Or if you're thinking about believing it, stand with me. Now you're in the position that activate all the things we've talked about this morning. The first thing you got to do is stand. I'm going to stand before the Lord and I'm going to believe that, guess what? He's going to protect me. He's going to place hope in me. He's going to do what? He's going to put his trust in me and I can put my trust in him. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to persevere. Now, how many of y'all need a connection with the risen Lord? If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, I would suggest that this would be a wonderful day to say, Lord Jesus, I have sinned. Now, God didn't tell you you'd sin to make you feel bad. God told you you'd sin to show you where you are. See, there's a way that seems right, and then there's a way that is from God that is right, that is true. How many of you today need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want your way in my life. I'm so tired of living on my own. I'd like to live in you. Well, there's a lot of people in this room that have said that, and they're not what they used to be, and they're not what they're going to be. That's the exciting news of God. But guess what? There's also a lot of people in this room that are betting on their way. Guarantee it. Well, that was a nice Easter service. Y'all had some good-looking lilies. That choir can really sing. Parking lot was pretty full. Guess what I say to all that? So? Did you hear that He loves you? Did you hear that He died for you? Did you hear that you're a sinner? Did you hear that you got to have Him? Here's why. There's a way that seems right unto humanity, and then there's what Jesus said. John 14:6. I am the way. The. Not a way. Not a possibility. And I know my Greek enough to know the difference between a and the. The way. I am the life, the truth, and the way. No one, let me go ahead and really help you understand that. No exception. No other plan. No other way. No one will enter the kingdom of heaven unless they go through me, says Jesus. Amen. No one. You say, well, Lord, I'm pretty. No one. Well, Lord, I was powerful. No one. Well, Lord, I had a lot of money. No one. Lord, I had better morals than those folks that went to church. No one. Lord, I believe that all the religions had equal value. No one. The problem is, He doesn't believe that. So there's a way that seems right, and then there's an excellent way that is right. And I'm going to follow the one that's risen from the grave. Maybe today you need to come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Maybe you've never been baptized. You say, well, I have a personal, private faith with God. Well, good. I wish you'd have a biblical, real faith. Because here's what the Bible said. The Bible says, if you're not ashamed of me, then declare me. And if you are ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you on the day of heaven. So declare that faith right there in that baptistry and say, Lord, I'm dead to my sin. I'm risen to a new possibility. I live a new life. I'm in the excellent way. Amen. So you've heard God today. How many of y'all need to come here to this altar this morning on an Easter Sunday morning and just say, Jesus, thank you for saving my soul. Every once in a while we need to say that. Jesus, thank you for saving a wretch like me. I say it every day because I was really rich. I mean, when Dr. Burhans asked me when I was 9 years old, he said, Stephen Lee Ayers, do you know that you're a sinner? I looked at him and he said, well, let me explain what a sinner is. It's a person that does things God tells him not to do. I said, I'm one of those. He said, have you obeyed your parents? I said, nope. He said, have you done the things you're supposed to do at church? I said, nope. I was already 9 years old and had skipped Sunday school 5 times. I was headed to hell. But there is a Jesus that will head you toward heaven. And He's risen today. Pray with me. Lord, only You can draw a soul into heaven. And You've done it. God, I'm as certain as there is rain and sunshine in the atmosphere that You have risen from the grave. Lord, I could argue with the archaeologists and the scientists and the historians, but the fact is Your Holy Spirit verifies this mysterious message. And so if you've never asked Jesus into your life, this altar's open, and this prayer won't save you, but the truth of it will. Why don't you tell Jesus right now, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I broke the Ten Commandments. I've not done what You've asked me to do. And I believe today that You were crucified to forgive me. You were risen because You are a living God that cannot be defeated. And Jesus, I ask You today on this Easter Sunday morning to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I ask You right now to do that. Guess what He'll do? He'll ask you. If that prayer is too complicated, this is a good one. Lord, help! He'll take it from there. That's how smart He is. Maybe this morning you need to come and just praise Him. How many of y'all need to just praise Him at the altar today? Lord, You've saved me. You love me. I want to thank You. Well, this altar's open right now, especially for anybody that needs to come to Christ. If you've never been baptized, I'm going to invite you to come be baptized. You say, well, what do you mean by being baptized? You were conscious of what you were doing. And you made a statement in baptism that, Lord, I love You. I'm dead in my sin. I'm risen in a new life. So you come. If you need to talk about that, let's talk about that. All right, this altar's open. Come just right now and let Him touch you. You really want to experience Easter? It won't be standing there. It'll be kneeling down up here and saying, God, my God, my God. Oh, how sweet. Oh, how sweet You are, Jesus. That You would love me so much. In the name of Christ, this altar is open. Jesus, love on everybody that's coming and love on everybody that's standing, because it makes no difference to You either way. But Lord, I pray right now for the souls that need to be changed in this place. Start it with mine. And Lord, I just ask You that You would continue to breathe life all over this altar. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.